Mending Brokenness. The scripture reading today is Isaiah 1:17. Wash yourselves, make yourselves clean, remove the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil, learn to do good, seek justice, rescue the oppressed, defend the orphan, plead for the widow. Hello, this is Randy Allen. I serve as associate pastor at First United Methodist Church of Tuscaloosa. I am author of God's Glory Revealed, 52 devotionals, and I make available a devotional each Thursday through a short video and a longer written and audio version. If you would like to see past devotionals and receive future devotionals, please visit www.randyllallen.com. This week, our reading includes Joel, Amos, the beginning of Isaiah, and two of Paul's pastoral letters. As I read God's holy word, particularly in light of the chaos swirling around us in the world today, two words come to mind: brokenness and injustice. We are broken people living in a broken world, crying out for unity, peace, justice, for help. I have heard it said that riots are the voice of the voiceless. If that is true, the voiceless scream, forcing confrontation of underlying issues. A pandemic has us feeling alone, isolated, stressed, and longing for social interaction. The murders of people in the hands of those who vowed to serve and protect leave us feeling sickened and angry at our miserable state of being, wondering how many others have gone unnoticed. Unemployment soars, tropical storms threaten, wildfires spread, earthquakes strike. The list goes on, but I will stop. The words brokenness and injustice continue to ring. Time and time again in Scripture, we see God's people suffering through periods of brokenness, and through God's holy word, we see that their troubles started when they turned from God. And we see that the first step towards healing and peace is turning back to God, repenting, seeking the one who is peace. That is the first step. But we are not called to isolate in our private prayer space seeking Him. We must seek Him together, and then, with His indwelling Holy Spirit leading the way, we must carry His light, love, and life out into the world, effectuating change, serving as peacemakers, making peace, and transforming unjust systems so that justice truly flows in our land. We must be His people, living in communion with Him and acting, serving, being His holy light to the world, implementing change. I hesitate to say that this is nothing new because the words may imply our actions are somehow excusable. We have God's holy word readily available in a variety of formats, yet we continue to fall into age-old traps of indifference, blindness, and self-centeredness. Let's turn to the Old Testament to see how other generations of God's people fell into the traps and God's recommended escape. Approximately 2,900 years ago, there was no peace in the land. 2 Chronicles 15:4 says, quote, "In those times it was not safe for anyone to go or come, for great disturbances afflicted all the inhabitants of the land," end quote. Prophet Azariah urged God's people to turn back to God, to repent and to seek God, and after they took aggressive steps to implement change, the wars ceased for a time. Approximately 2,855 years ago, God called Joel to serve as prophet, and he gave Joel a vision of destruction and starvation. At Joel 1:4 and 1:19, Joel sees the promised land destroyed by locusts and fire. In verse 1:10, he writes, quote, "The fields are devastated, the ground mourns, for the grain is destroyed. The wine dries up, the oil fails." And at verse 1:14, he urges everyone to gather together to fast and pray. Later, Joel sees a vision of even greater destruction, a massive army preparing to attack. In chapter 2, he writes, quote, "Like blackness spread upon the mountains, a great and powerful army comes. Their like has never been from of old, nor will be again after them in ages to come. Yet even now, says the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. Rend your hearts and not your clothing. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love, and relents from punishing." Joel 2:2 and 12 through 13. Joel paints a vision of destruction, economic distress, starvation, and imminent slaughter. And he explains precisely how we should respond when chaos and calamity swirl around us. God tells his people to respond by repenting, turning to God, fasting, weeping, and mourning. He tells us to begin by seeking him. Approximately 75 years later, God called Amos to serve as prophet. Through Amos, God describes his judgment of Israel. In chapter 2 of Amos, we see that God's people, the ones who claimed association with God and who claimed his holy name, were greedy. They ignored people in need, and they disrespected people intent on worshiping God by forcing those who had taken the Nazarite vow to violate their vow and ordering God's prophets to stop prophesying. And in chapter 6, we see some who lived in indulgent luxury failed to notice people suffering around them. They were blind to the plight of others. But we know that if we truly love our brothers and sisters, we are not blind to their struggles and we are not indifferent to their needs. Through Amos, at Amos 5:21 through 24, God says, quote, I despise your festivals and I take no delight in your solemn assemblies. Even though you offer me your burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them, and the offerings of well-being of your fatted animals I will not look upon. Take away from me the noise of your songs. I will not listen to the melody of your harps. But let justice roll down like waters, and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. End quote. They went to church, and they participated in religious rituals, but they were indifferent to injustice. They failed to see it. They failed to be grieved by it. They failed to change unjust systems, and God turned his face from them. But let justice roll down like waters, and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. 20 years later, God called Isaiah to serve as prophet. Isaiah begins the book bearing his name with a vision paralleling Amos's vision. Through Isaiah, at Isaiah 1:14 through 17, God proclaims, quote, "Your new moons and your appointed festivals my soul hates. They have become a burden to me. I am weary of bearing them. When you stretch out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are full of blood. Wash yourselves, make yourselves clean, remove the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil, learn to do good, seek justice, rescue the oppressed, defend the orphan, plead for the widow. God's people attended church, and they participated in religious rituals, but God was weary of them because they failed to seek justice, and they failed to help people who needed their help. Around the same time as Isaiah, God gave the prophet Micah a similar word. Micah raised questions regarding the proper form of worship, and God answered. The exchange is recorded in Micah 6, which says, quote, "With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, and to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God?" Micah 6:6-8. God requires. Please allow me to repeat that. God requires that we do justice, that we love kindness, and we walk in humble relationship with God. This is worship. This is how we demonstrate our love of God. So when Jesus condenses the law and the prophets to two commandments, to love God and to love our neighbors, see Matthew 22:36-40, he is not introducing new concepts. He is restating what God has already said through the prophets. God's holy word tells us that he detests injustice. We are broken people living in a broken world, but we are not powerless. We are his light, and we have the power of the Holy Spirit. So what are we to do? We feel sick and angry in response to Mr. Floyd's killing, and we see rioting and looting and tremendous harm around our nation, and we continue to live in fear of the air we breathe, and storms, fires, earthquakes, and unemployment threaten greater destruction. What are we to do? God explains through his prophets that we must fast and pray and seek him, and we must act. We must see systems as they truly are. We must see our brothers and sisters in need. We must act to transform unjust systems. We must, quote, "let justice roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream," end quote. The solution involves making peace. Feeling sick and angry is good so long as it propels us to act as God's agents of light, love, life, and peace, agents of change within our sphere of influence. Quite simply, we must love God and love our neighbor. It begins with God and continues with us acting within our sphere of influence to effectuate change. We must turn to God. We must renew and rebuild our relationship with God through Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit by throwing ourselves at his feet, by fasting and praying and seeking him in awe and humility. We must invite Jesus into our lives in a new and refreshed way and seek his spiritual transformation, his life, love, and light, and grow in relationship with him that we might walk humbly with him. We must reach out to our brothers and sisters as peacemakers in and through love. And we must act within our sphere of influence to eradicate injustice and carry out God's great mission here on earth. You are salt and light. You have the power of the Holy Spirit within you. The Prince of Peace calls us to be peacemakers, and making peace requires action. But what is peace? Jesus said, quote, I have said this to you so that in me you may have peace. In the world you face persecution, but take courage, I have conquered the world, end quote, John 16:33. Combining thoughts of peace and conflict in the same breath. The concept of peace in Scripture is much broader than mere absence of conflict. It conjures images of righteousness, blessing, godly tranquility, wholeness, and relationship with God. Where do we find peace? Jesus says, we find peace in Him. Peace is the result of living in communion with Him. If we find peace in Jesus, peacemaking must involve spreading the good news of Christ Jesus. It involves transforming the world one heart at a time, and it involves transformed people changing unjust systems. While Jesus tells us that those who make peace will be blessed, He does not promise the process will be peaceful. Peacemaking requires change from the status quo to a new condition. It involves individuals meeting Christ Jesus, surrendering to Him, communing with Him, following His lead, and acting to transform human systems towards righteousness, making them closer to heaven on earth. God calls us to go and carry out His mission on earth, and His mission frequently involves discomfort. As Jesus sent the disciples out as missionaries to preach, He described problems they would face along the way. And after the Prince of Peace, whose message is the gospel of peace, said, "Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword." Matthew 10:34. How can the Prince of Peace say He did not come to bring peace twice in a single sentence? His statements about peace and sword are hyperbole, driving home the point that at times the changes necessary to bring about peace cause conflict. Many have an image of Jesus as some sort of soft-spoken, mild-mannered hippie, passing out flowers while singing Kumbaya, intent on avoiding conflict. But the Prince of Peace possesses awesome power and is a revolutionary seeking to transform the world one heart at a time. As He sent out missionaries to effectuate change, He focused on the process of change. While the gospel of peace should always be communicated in loving gentleness and respect, see 1 Peter 3:16, the process required to transform systems towards peace is not always easy or even peaceful. Scripture contains many examples of God's servants facing conflict. For two, consider Jonah and Paul. Jonah's conflicts were internal. Paul's were external. It seems that Paul was routinely running for his life, escaping one town and traveling to the next, only to be treated with hostility again. But he continued preaching the good news of Jesus Christ every place he went. In 2 Corinthians 11, Paul gave his resume of sorts, describing the times he had been beaten, flogged, and shipwrecked. And he faced danger all around him. And on one occasion, he narrowly escaped from Damascus by being lowered through a window in a basket. Jonah demonstrates internal conflict. God called him to serve as missionary to Nineveh. Jonah was God's prophet, yet his heart was so filled with hatred that he tried to run from God rather than deliver God's holy word to the people in Nineveh. Jonah believed they were too wicked, unworthy, and beyond deserving redemption. Jonah knew that God is, quote, gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and ready to relent from punishing, end quote, Jonah 4:2. He knew that if he went to Nineveh and preached God's holy word, God would treat them with mercy. And Jonah could not bear the thought of seeing God forgive a city as wicked as Nineveh. Jonah believed they deserved God's wrath, not mercy, and he was angry with God for his pardon. We are each far from perfect, yet God desires to use each of us in his glorious service, and while that may sound great, and it is, he may call us to serve people we would not choose. Jesus tells us that we find peace in him. If we are to be peacemakers, we must go out into the world effectuating change, proclaiming the good news of Christ Jesus, introducing people to him, and helping them along the path towards discipleship. We must truly love God and, through his love dwelling within us, truly love others. We are broken people living in a broken world. And while we are not perfect, we are not helpless. We are light of the world, and we have the power of the Holy Spirit, and we each have a sphere of influence. May you carry out your part of God's glorious mission on earth. Go in peace. Amen.